And with that, let's pray, and then we'll get into tonight's teaching. Lord, we do come before you. We thank you so much for this night. I thank you for each couple that's here. I ask that you fill their ears to have them hear. Lord, cause me to say the things I'm supposed to and not say the things I'm not. And Lord, if I say something that is wrong or shouldn't be said, erase it from their memories, Lord. Lord, I ask that you bind us together, that we grow through this topic. We grow as couples in everything we do. So we give you this night. We give you our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have children? Well, a lot of you. That's great. How many of you have grandchildren? Quite a few of you also. That's great. Stepchildren. That's great. How about, how many of you are a child? Okay. How many of you have ever had parents? Who's not raising their hand? You've got to be kidding me. Were you hatched? Or did you come from Mars? Okay. I think I covered everyone, don't you? I think so. Okay. I'm going to tonight be giving a lot of bullet points as we talk about leaving and cleaving, because we're going to leave a lot of time for questions and answers at the end. Della's going to come up and we'll be fielding your questions, because this is just a topic that everyone has questions about and everyone wonders, oh, how do I do that? And so hold on to your seats, because I'm just going to be straight, okay? Of course, I've never been straight before, right? So I want to start off by reading a quote from a great site. Have you ever heard of gotquestions.org? Anybody? Gotquestions.org? Most of you have not. That's great, honestly, because after I read this quote, and you'll see why, gotquestions.org is a site you could go to say, tell me about Mormonism. And it's biblically based, and it'll give you what Mormonism believes versus the Christian faith. Tell me about the Jehovah's Witnesses. How do I lead someone to the Lord? Is divorce okay? Is living together? It's just on and on and on and on. And they're totally biblically based. If you find something that's not, tell us. But what we found, and they have thousands, literally, of questions you can ask. And they give you the scriptures, and they walk you through. If you're going, how am I going to share with my neighbor he's a Mormon? You can go through this and actually get a plan to be able to share with them. Does that make sense? Great site, gotquestions.org. Okay, so I pulled up the question about leaving and cleaving, and I'm going to read to you what they said. And again, you don't have this in a handout, but you can go to gotquestions.org, and you could download it and argue with them. It says the question, how do I balance, and this is real key tonight, I'm going to be talking as much to us parents and grandparents as the kids that left the house. Are we doing it right also? Okay, so the question was, how do I balance leave and cleave with honoring your parents? Answer, both Christian parents and their married children can have difficulty with the balance between the concepts of leave and cleave and honoring parents. Some pertinent Bible passages, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined, cleave, to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. That's Genesis 2:24. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And that's Ephesians 6:1. Honor your father and mother so that you may live a long life. That's good, huh? In the land of the Lord, and God will give you the desires. That's Exodus 20:12. There are three aspects, it says, to the statement of Genesis 2:24. Number one is leave. This indicates that in a family, there are two types of relationships. The parent-child relationship is a temporary one, and there will be a leaving. The husband and wife relationship is a permanent one. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Matthew 19:6. Problems occur in family life when these two roles are reversed, and the parent-child relationship is treated as a primary relationship. When an adult child has married and this parent-child relationship remains primary, the newly formed union is threatened. Does that make sense? We'll get into depth in this over the next few hours. No, I'm kidding. Number two is cleave. The Hebrew word translated cleave refers to the pursuing hard after someone else and being glued or stuck to something or someone. So a man is to pursue hard after his wife after the marriage has occurred. The courtship should not end with the wedding vows and is to be stuck to her like glue. The cleaving indicates such closeness that there should be no closer relationship than that between the two spouses, not with any former friend or with any parent. Three, and they shall become one flesh. Marriage takes two individuals and creates a new single entity. There is to be such sharing and oneness in every aspect, physical, emotional, intellectual, financial, social, that the resulting unity can be best described as one flesh. Again, where there is greater sharing and emotional support gained from a continual parent relationship than from a husband-wife relationship, the oneness in the marriage is being threatened, resulting in an unbiblical balance. With these three aspects, Genesis 2:24 in mind, there are also the spiritual admonitions to honor one's parents. This includes treating them with respectful attitude, Proverbs 30:11-17, obeying them when their commands are in keeping with God's laws. In the Lord, Ephesians 6:1, and taking care of them as they get older, Mark 7:10-12, and 1 Timothy 5:4-8. In the line between these two commandments is drawn where one is being asked to comply with one principle in such way that it will violate the other principle or command. When a meddling parent violates that, the leaving, because it is treating the parent-child relationship as primary, demanding obedience, dependency, or emotional oneness over the desire of, dependence of, or oneness of the spouse, it should be respectfully rejected and the spouse's desires honored. However, when there are genuine needs of an aging parent, they're physical or emotional, assuming the emotional need does not supersede the leaving principle, that need is to be met, even if one spouse does not like the parent or in-law. Get it? Even if you don't like them. Then you've got another problem we have to deal with, right? In-laws and outlaws. Biblical love towards the aging parent is given based on choosing to do the loving thing, even when one does not feel it, like normal, right? When we don't feel like doing it, it doesn't matter if it's a biblical thing, we need to do it. The balance between these scriptural mandates is similar to the commandment of those of Romans 13. And the example of the apostles violating that principle when the authority figures asked them to act contrary to God's mandates. In Acts 4:5-20, the apostles rejected the Jewish authority, demanding to stop preaching the gospel because their command violated God's. Does that make sense? And Romans 13 talks about submitting to the governing authorities. If it violates God's authority, then you don't have to do what they say. But the apostle did so in a respectful manner. Similarly, Jesus says we are to honor our parents, but that the parent-child relationship is second to the relationship in Christ. That's Luke 14:26. In like manner, when parents violate Genesis 2:24 principle, the parents should be respectfully disobeyed. Are questions going on in your mind? How do you do that? What do we do? But the opposite end of the spectrum, the spouse's desire should be overlooked if he or she is unwilling to expend the time, energy, and finances required to meet the needs of an aging parent, keeping in mind that the one must distinguish between true physical and emotional need from the felt need of an overbearing and demanding parent. Do we all have a lot of questions already? Do we all have the answers? Do we have comments? I hope so, because honestly, I'm hoping to do this, like I stated, a little different than normally. I do a lot more interacting. I want to read a bunch of stuff, bullet item stuff, and then I'm please asking you to give your input. What have you done? What questions do you have? And how do we do this together as we learn? Okay? I'm going to read a couple more scriptures to you at this point. Genesis 2, 21 through 24 again says, "And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh. Then the rib which the Lord had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken from man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.'" First of all, I think he also said more than just, "This is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." He probably went, "Wow, look at this," right? You guys wouldn't do that? I mean, he's naming all the animals, right? And seeing no mate for him, God makes this beautiful Eve. He's going to say, "Wow, look at that." I mean, honestly, I have written in my Bible, I'm going to embarrass my wife again. I have written in my Bible right there in red ink, "Wow, Della, sexy." I mean, I maybe say all this too, but I go, "Wow, look what you've given me, Lord. That's awesome," right? Wouldn't you? You men, come on. Okay, you notice this is before they were parents, right? They weren't even parents yet. Do you think that God may have been laying out a principle here? He knew it was coming, right? So he's laying out a principle of leaving and cleaving. He did that before they were even parents. Matthew 19, 4 through 6 says, "And he answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate.'" So we see it again in the New Testament. No longer two, but one. One body, one soul, one spirit, bound together. This is deeper than honestly I could totally explain. I constantly try to understand the oneness in marriage and the oneness that happens when you become that one flesh. But, and my wife and I have been married 42 years, and honestly, our oneness together is getting deeper every year. I keep thinking, man, I can't love her anymore. I honestly can't love her any more than I do now. Not anymore. I can't love her anymore. No, I can't love her any more than I do now. It can't get any deeper. And it gets deeper and deeper because we're loving the Lord and we're loving each other. Does that make sense? Any other men say amen?
Amen.
All right. So you're bound together and you're not to be divided. But let anything come between you. If you're not that one, you'd be ripped apart. You're supposed to leave your father and mother and be joined to your wife. And again, we're going to talk more about that. I'm going to bullet item you to death tonight. Matthew 10, 7 and 8 says, "For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh." Ephesians 5, 31. "For this reason, man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." When you leave and cleave properly, your spouse should be priority over everything and everyone except for Christ, right? Everyone and everything except for Christ. An example of that for me would be even, we told our children all along, I told them, "Mom's number one, I back her. You guys are only going to be here for who knows how long and you're going to be gone. But Mom's number one, and I will make sure that they know that." And they did know that. And it's so funny because now they're both married and they have kids and they go, "Well, you were right. We're gone and you're still with Mom." And that's the way it's supposed to be. They're supposed to know that and it's supposed to be very evident to them. It's part of growing up, going out and leaving and cleaving. It's a part of starting your own life as young adults. You now are supposed to start your own traditions. You're supposed to start your own things that you're supposed to do. But yet so many of those things are ingrained in us, it's hard to release them. And plus, our parents make sure that they remind us they're ingrained in you, which we'll talk about more also. So we need to obey God in that. Okay, leaving involves leaving the parent-child relationship and becoming respectful equals. Does that make sense? Respectful equals. In other words, for me, my two grandsons, my sons-in-laws, I will tell them, I will ask them questions. My one son-in-law is incredibly good with computers and so on. I ask him questions. How would you do this? What do you do here? And we talk as equals on that area. They respect me as the father-in-law, but yet there are a lot of other things we're equals in that we talk about. Does that make sense? Okay. Your parents' priorities first should be your spouse's priorities now. Does that make sense? In other words, now it's not, what do my parents want? What would they do? Where are they going? Where would they spend their finances with me? Where would they live? But no, it's, what am I supposed to do with my spouse to grow? That's secondary, what your parents want. Approval in any area from your parents above your mates, that's what you're supposed to put off. The approval needs to first come from your spouse. Your wife sharing everything with mama. I saw smiles on some women. You've always, well, mom this, mom that, mom that. But you're not sharing it with your husband. You're not breaking some of that and bonding together with that. And the same way with your father. Now, men, tell me, you never do that too? We do it too. I come from a Catholic Italian family from Chicago, okay? You did everything mom and dad told you to do. Is it true? I know a lot of Hispanic families are the same way. You did everything together. Every holiday was together. Every time it was all together. So there was a hard leaving and cleaving for us. Every Sunday was pasta. And even when you got married, you expected to be there on Sunday to have pasta. So it was good pasta, but you got to still build some of your own relationships in that. Okay, so the other thing you need to put off is living with your parents. And I know some of you will have a discussion about this later. When you get married, you're supposed to now live with your spouse and build your traditions and start working together in that. Or living with somebody else. How are you going to build this relationship when you're living under someone else's roof? And we'll talk more about that, but really, now you're under their traditions, their problems, and so on. Did you need... Is there a problem? I don't think so. We should probably just dial 911. Any first responders here? Medics, paramedic? You? Okay, we've got someone that could come and take a look. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord, we lift up this situation to you right now. We don't know what's happening with this person, but we ask that you touch them. Lord, we know and believe that you can heal them. Even as we've talked about prayer in the past, we know that you could touch right now and they will be healed. So we ask that you would. But Lord, if you're not going to do an instantaneous healing, we ask that you be with our first responder and the medics, if they need to come, would take care of them. So we put them in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. Okay, so you can't, if your first person you're always with is someone else, whether you're living with them or being with them, it won't work. And you have to have boundaries and protect your children. Giving up some of your traditions. Okay, I'm not going to get into this right now because we're going to talk about this next month. Tell me if this is an okay topic for next month. I don't have the exact title, but it's basically going to be how to make it through the holidays without losing your family or your salvation. Do we struggle with that? You got, it's a good subject, you think? So next month, we're going to talk about how do we do this? We go to these family outings. We go to these different things. And there's they want us to drink, and they want us to do this. And they absolutely have to have Santa Claus, and this one has to have whatever. And this one's smoking weed in the back, and this one's doing drugs. This is true stuff. How do we handle that respectfully, but yet be able to make sure the values that God has given us, that we could do that? So next month's going to be another interesting topic. So pray for us on that. As we have some real good examples and experience in that. Again, like I said, being from an Italian family, an Italian said, this is what you do every Christmas and Thanksgiving, and this is what time you will be there. And anyway, and then we had kids, and you have to have the fight. We'll talk more about that next month. Okay, leaving involves putting on. Putting on, making sure you're setting the boundaries, protecting your children, again, from cursing and drugs and anything else going around. We're supposed to protect them, whether it's our parents or someone else. Not allow that to come in. Protecting your husband and wife. Standing up for them publicly and privately. No matter what, that you will, somebody said, I had a situation where I don't remember, we were talking about this the other day, I don't remember the exact situation, but my mom said something to my wife or about my wife that was not good. And I had to have a conversation with Mama. And I says, oh yeah, exactly. And I shared with my mom, Mom, I love you, but you will never talk to my wife that way again. I love you, but you will never talk to her that way again. You will never say that. She was very mad at me. I don't think Mama talked to me for 2 or 3 weeks. But it got healed, and after a while, it was fine. But she understood then. We need to stick up for each other. We need to protect. That's part of leaving and cleaving. She needs to be number one. You need to be number one, and you need to make sure that the parents know that, that you are number one now in their life. Talking with and planning with your husband and wife about your goals in life, not just your parents. I know there's a situation right now I know of where there's this couple that the dad constantly tells the daughter, and there's a husband and wife and two kids, tells the daughter, next year we're going on a week and a half vacation and here's where we're going. And the son-in-law says, I only get a week and a half vacation, and I want to spend some time with my wife. And there's fights going on. Well, my dad needs this and that. Well, wait a minute. Your husband comes first. You guys need to have your vacations together. I'm going to tell you honestly, for me, it really, really bothers me when I hear of husbands and wives having vacations separately. Now, if I'll use something that is great for guys. If a guy wants to go for a couple days or a week and he's going hunting with his buddies and the wife has no problem with that, amen, right? That's fine. If the wife's going with her girlfriends and doing whatever, amen. But if you've only got 1 week of vacation and that 1 week is spent separate, that's not right. You need to make sure you're building your relationship and your family first. Does that make sense? That makes sense? I know. Everyone's like, oh, I got to change something here. Well, good. Okay. It becomes, again, a peer relationship with each other. Replacing dependency relationship with a peer relationship with your kids. Okay? Accepting responsibility for making your own decisions. I don't need to ask my mom and dad everything. Okay? Now, especially when you're young and you first get married, you ask your parents a lot of stuff. We did. I remember a situation, we were going to buy a house. And I asked my dad and I asked my wife Della's dad. And both of them had their opinions of what we should do. But the decision was Della's and mine then. My father-in-law, who I absolutely love, honestly, as much as my own parents, because they were my own parents, they grew that way. But he sat down with me and penciled it out. Now, remember, he worked helping design, like, the rockets for Rocketdyne. Very, very sharp. And here he is. He says, okay, let's look at this, George. And he puts together a budget and says, okay, penciled it out. Okay, George, you're going to be I don't remember the exact number, but it was like $200. Remember, this is in 1976, a long time ago. You're going to be $200 shy. You're not going to make it. You're $200 shy. Della and I prayed, and we sought the Lord, and we said, well, the Lord really wants us to do this. We're going to do it. And he goes, oh, okay. The good thing is he didn't just demand either. He says, okay, if that's what you guys feel. The day escrow closed, I got a $200 a month raise. Now, see, that's how God creates you to have your own. Now, I haven't done it all right all the time, so that's a good clap. Yes, thank you. But I don't do it right all the time. But in that particular case, God was teaching me, here's a wise man, and he was and is, very smart, knew his numbers, crunched the numbers, knew what we needed, but we felt the Lord telling us something different. We're going to trust in you, Lord. And bam, he showed himself faithful the day escrow closed. So that's just an example of that. Okay. You need to put off imitating all of their habits, like having pasta every Sunday at their house. You know, that doesn't mean you stop it, but maybe you don't have to do that all the time. Or traditions, whatever traditions you have. All of us have traditions that we're raised with by our parents. Some of them are great to do, but you need to be in harmony together with your spouse that you're going to do that. They're now your advisors, like my father-in-law. He was my advisor. He's not my parent to tell me what to do, and neither was my dad and mom to tell me what to do now. I want your advice. You know, again, that's respecting them. I want your advice. I want your opinion. What do you think? What do you think we should do? Excuse me. And then we're praying through the whole thing, and we make the decision that God's telling us to do. Make sense? Okay. Again, your parents don't make this final decision. Your parents, again, are not number one in your life. They're not the first one you go to. Your spouse needs to be the first one you go to. And then you talk to each other about, can we communicate with our parents? So there's nothing hidden, or the other spouse. You know what? I forgot to put the slide up, didn't I? We're going to put a slide up right now that was going to go up at the beginning. Okay. It says best explanation of marriage. I don't think it's the best explanation of marriage, but it's a very good one, a model of marriage. So take a minute and look at it. I won't read it all to you, but it says, this is why a man leaves his father and mother and becomes attached to his wife, and they become one flesh. And so it gives you how to do that and what to do. You complement each other. You do the transition. There's maturity. It becomes a new family. It's a process of learning friendship and trust. Deep intimacy between two people. That's what it ends up becoming. Obviously, all that's done in prayer, as we've been talking about. After leaving and cleaving properly is when you could become best friends with your spouse. This is a guarantee. I promise you this. I see it. I've been doing biblical guidance for 40 years. I'm not exaggerating. I'm that old. If you don't leave your parents properly and cleave to your spouse, your spouse will never be your best friend. Does that make sense? They can't be your best friend because, let me just call mom. Let me just call dad. Let me call Bill. Let me call Sue. Oh, whatever your habits were, you need to stop doing that and start making sure you transfer that to your spouse. Then when you become best friends, you spend time together. You have fun together. You share activities and interests together. You know and like each other. You talk things over, you confide in each other, you call on each other for help, you count on each other's loyalty. You can be best friends if nobody's in between the two of you. I read this quote, and I don't really remember where I read it, but it says, if you are giving your best energies to your hobbies instead of your spouse, then your hobbies have become your mistress. I'm going to read that again to you. If you are giving your best energies to your hobbies instead of your spouse, then your hobbies have become your mistress. That make sense? It's like, that's my best friend. That's my mistress, because we're giving all the time to it. You know, what did we talked about months ago? These things. You know, we become so attached to it that now we're not talking to each other. I teased a couple earlier that they were on their phones, probably communicating with whoever. But I asked them if they were sitting together, husband and wife, are you texting each other to talk? Because these things start controlling us. And Della and I have to constantly say, wait a minute, is that important? Because is this becoming my mistress versus the time with my wife and making sure she's properly taken care of? Okay, I'm not going to get into the best friend aspect and boundaries, because we're planning on doing another teaching about making sure that we are best friends and that we put the boundaries there. Just like our children need boundaries, so do our parents, our grandparents, grandchildren, ex-spouses, friends, and everyone else. So, parents and grandparents, you're here, right? I saw your hands. I saw that hand. You must first and foremost model a godly marriage to your kids. They need to see you loving the Lord and loving on each other, and that the other person is the most important person in the world. If they see that, it's going to be way easier for them when they get married to do the same thing. It's so important that they see that. We used to have our kids would have their friends come over, and then they'd go into the other room and say, are your parents putting on an act for us? All that lovey-dovey stuff and so on, the kissy and touching, and are they putting on an act for us? And they would tell them, no, they're worse when you're not here. And we were. But it's better. It's not worse. Our kids were secure because of that. You need to set that example and tell them, someday you're going to be gone, and it's going to be just mom and me. And that's okay. That's the right thing to do. You're training them up. You're helping them prepare for them to do life on their own. They need to know that your spouse is number one. Again, don't ask your children what you should be asking your spouse. I see that a lot of times too. The mom and daughter are so close, it's not really a lot of times the daughter anymore that's continuing to call, but it's the mom that's still calling the daughter and making themselves codependent with each other, versus allowing them to build their own relationship and their own family. That makes sense? I know none of us have ever done that, right? Support them in everything they do. Be a listening ear. I'm surely not telling you. You know, I did a teaching a couple years ago in the sanctuary about raising your children in the Lord. And I said, when do your kids stop being your kids? When? Amen. Never. And it was like a shock to some people, because I literally had people coming up to me saying, well, I thought once they're 18, they're on their own. Are you kidding me? My kids are in their 30s, and they call us regularly, and they come by regularly, and we want that to happen. But we're not intruding into that area we shouldn't intrude in most of the times. We make sure that, hey, we want them to grow. And that's one of the balances, is when to say something and when not to. And we'll talk more about that after Della comes up. You need to be there for them. Never divide them. Well, I can't believe your husband said that or your wife said that. Shut up. Bite your tongue. Don't do that. You could give them advice, but not orders. I say to my kids a lot of times, do you want my opinion on that? Honestly, that's what I say. Do you want my opinion on that? And usually they say yes. Or sometimes it's funny to go, no, because I know what you're saying. So even if they're in their 30s, no, because I know what you're saying. So Psalm 127:3, children are a gift from God. They're a gift. For us to take care of, for us to love, for us to nourish and be there for them. But they're a gift. that God could take from us anytime. And once they get married, we're not number one with them and shouldn't be. And we need to encourage them that we're not number one. Help them to grow in that. They're not our property. They're a gift. That's my daughter. That's my son. I've heard that. Ryan. No, they're not. They're God's. You need to make sure that your daughter or your son see you respecting your daughter-in-law or your son-in-law. Does that make sense? Because otherwise they're really going to play you against each other. You know, hey, Mom, you know what he said? No, don't do that. Let me pray for you and your husband. You make sure you're doing the right thing. Are you praying for him? Are you praying for her? Are you doing the right thing? That you're respecting that son-in-law and daughter-in-law. And guess what? Then they're come to you with questions or comments. It's the funniest thing with my older daughter and son-in-law, just totally right on with the Lord. They come to church here. We have a 5-year-old granddaughter with them. And it hasn't happened much lately because they've been married 12 years now? 12 years. But the first 4 or 5 years that they were married, something would go wrong and they're starting to have an argument about something. And the one of them that quote-unquote thought they would right say, you want to call your dad and ask his opinion? Because whether it was my son-in-law or my daughter, they knew I was going to tell them the truth. If my daughter was wrong, I was going to say, sorry, hon, I love you, but that's not right. You don't act that way. And if it was my son-in-law, I'd tell them the same thing. So being truthful for them, being there to disciple them still, but not intruding. And that's the balance that we have to have as parents. Being there, but not being intrusive on them. Again, if they do something that's wonderful, tell them. Make sure you're encouraging them constantly. You know, that was great what you did. I don't care if they're married or they're still your 5-year-old. If they've been married 15 years, we tell them, I love the way you raise your daughter, our granddaughter. I love what you're doing in this area. My younger daughter, now we have a 1.5-year-old grandson, and we tell her regularly, the way you're doing this and that and that with Thorin, we love that. That's wonderful. What a blessing that is. Encourage the kids. Encourage them in the Lord. Encourage them in godly things. If they're doing things that are not right, again, be careful not to be overly intrusive. Say, do you want my opinion on that? And I've had them sometimes say no, and sometimes say yeah. So be careful. Allow the Lord to give you wisdom of when to be able to get in the middle of that and when not to. Okay, I'm going to have Della come up. And we're going to try something a little different this time, if it's all right with you guys or not. Who's going to do the mic? You could pull that off if you want to. Rather than having you guys scream it out and have you repeat it 4 times and then no one hears it, if you want to raise your hand and ask a question, give a comment, he's going to bring the mic over to you and then we could either answer the question or hear the comment. So, hands away. Oh, no questions? Oh, good. This was easy. God bless you guys. Let's go have some food. Come on, you guys have no questions or comments or thoughts? You guys have this all down? Okay, there's one. You guys are normally, let's be honest and open with it. If the mic's a discouragement for you guys to talk, we won't use the mic. Is the mic okay?
Yes.
Okay. Those of you that said yes have to ask questions now.
I just want to attest to the fact that it is difficult when you have a parent living with you. Out of our 11 and a half years of marriage, my mother lived with us about 10 and a half years of it. And uh-huh. My husband's very supportive, so I think he enjoyed her living with us more than I did.
Mm-hmm. That usually happens.
But I love her, but I think, and it didn't affect our marriage as much, probably, mm-hmm. maybe here and there, but as far as our marriage was concerned, she didn't really get too involved. But when I had children, it was very difficult. Mm. And
because they want to tell you what you should do, right?
Yes, and it's been hard. And she was someone who I think made it, just kind of made bratty kids out of my children at times, you know, because she loved them so much. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate mm-hmm. that. But I think I'm reaping like the consequences of that, especially the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. In the past few months, she's not been around as much because I'm like kind of had to put the brakes. And there's been some changes. Mm-hmm. And I love her. But I think that it was more harmful. You know, I mean, but my husband loved, you know, that she was helpful mm-hmm. in many areas. But it is hard. You know, it has to be very clear boundaries. And you have to all work together. Mm-hmm. And you have to want to. I agree.
Very good. And that's true. There are definitely some total pluses to living together. But there's negatives also, especially when you're trying to build your own household and your own relationship. Anybody else? Questions? Comments? Okay. The mic's on its way. Your name's Mike, right?
Hey, Mike. The question is about the Bible when you say that. They say that.
Put it closer to your mouth. You could turn it down then. Okay, there you go.
For this reason.
Perfect.
For this reason, a man should leave his mother and love. For this reason, a man who shall leave his mother and father and become one with his wife. Mm-hmm. Does it have something to do with that? It says in Genesis 2:24, where it says, to the women you desire to be for your husband?
Yes.
It's the Bible says, for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and become one with his wife. But it doesn't say, for this reason, a woman will leave his mother and father and become one with her husband.
Good observation and comment. It is harder for men to leave their mothers than it is for wives usually to leave, because it's a natural thing for them to cling to the husband and look for direction for them. Would you agree, Anita? She doesn't have any desire to follow me, so.
The reason it says, because if this has something to do with it, it says that you desire to the women, God says to the women, with pain you will be charged for and you desire before your husband. Mm-hmm. That has something to do with not leaving your mother and your father for the wife?
I'm not sure.
When it says that the woman's desire is to be her the husband, it's that she wants to be in charge. So submission is something she has to work on, because that's what I've been taught, is that with that scripture that you're talking about in Genesis, is that it has to do with she'll have pain in childbirth, and that her desire will be for the husband in the way that she wants to be in control. So she has to work on letting him be the president and her being the vice president, sort of, you know, that kind of relationship.
That's related one with the other thing.
So I don't think that's related to this other, what you're trying
to. Would it have anything to do with it?
I don't see that.
All right.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Question, comment over here. You're doing good, Mike. What's your real name?
It's Tim.
Oh, I thought he was Mike.
I can be your Mike, because I'm actually Mike.
So. I know. Go ahead, Mike.
it's more of a comment. I remember I was having a discussion with my father, and then I was talking to him about a friend of mine that was having issues. You know, my friend had confided in me about some stuff he was going through in his marriage, and something about arguing and then parents getting involved or something. And my dad had said to me, he's like, you know, earlier on in my marriage, I went to my mom and write to her about something, some disagreement I had with your mom, and it was something minor, but my mom said to me, you know, you're not supposed to be talking to me. Mm. You're supposed to be talking to your wife. Mm. And that set a really positive example for me, knowing that when I get married, I can't be talking to my parents, oh, this and that, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be working it out with my best friend right here.
Yep.
And I saw the way that, you know, at that point, my grandparents were very respectful of my parents' relationship. And then later on in life, my dad found a balance when his parents were basically in a convalescent home, living their very last days.
Uh-huh.
During that time, he wasn't employed, so he spent a lot of time over there. But his other brother, who lives out here in California, wouldn't go see them. And he wanted my dad there all the time, because my dad had lived closer at the time. Mm-hmm. And my dad said, I have a wife at home. I can't be there all the time.
Yep.
But even the respect that he still, the love that he showed my mom, but then the respect and honor that he still gave to their parents all the way up until they passed away was a really good balance. And my mom even talked about it. She's like, I know that I don't always see your dad as often as I would like, but at the same time, he does give me time. But I love that he's honoring his parents. But it was, but they, like when you had said earlier how you gotta, sometimes you have to maybe be disobedient in a way to a like a petulant or maybe even an abhorrent parent who's just being mean to you or tells you to do this or that. Sometimes you have to get away with that. But my dad's parents weren't like that. And they raised him really well. And he was just so honoring to them while still giving my mom the love that she needed. And it was just a good balance. It was very positive to see that.
Great testimony. Amen. And that, it, in other words, it could work. And that's how it's supposed to work with passing down from one generation to the next generation. Do you want to share what your mom said? Or?
Oh, well, when we got married very young, and my mom wasn't super happy that I was leaving so soon. Cause
and
we
married
had,
an Italian, too.
Because, well, because, you know. Because we had a good relationship, and she just thought she might have a couple more years with me at home, but that didn't work out that way. But even with that, she sat me down before we got married, and she said, there will be times when you guys are angry at each other, and you're going to have fights. She goes, don't come calling me. You guys work it out. So she was already telling me that, you know, right off the bat. It's like, you know, you've chosen to be married. You got to act like a married couple. Don't come running home to mommy. You need to be a grown-up. And you guys need to work it out.
Amen.
So I appreciated that I had parents like that.
Yeah.
They were.
So did I.
Yeah. And they were ready to help us.
Yes.
But they were never overly ready to help us. As I mean, they allowed us to grow and to solve our own problems. But they did help us a couple of times when things got a little hard, a little beyond what we were able to do. But they did.
Financially.
But they weren't like always, you know, bailing us out, because I think we, if parents who have the means are always bailing out their adult children, you're actually stunting their spiritual growth, because they never learn to lean on the Lord and trust in the Lord. They're learning to lean on mommy and daddy, and that they never have to suffer the consequences for maybe poor choices, because mom or dad will bail them out, and it's better to let them suffer a little bit, have the consequences of bad choices, or if life really throws them a curveball, you know, let them. There have been a couple times, I mean, our faith in the Lord was built a lot and strengthened a lot by seeing him get us through hard times, and that we wouldn't have had that, those experiences if our parents were always running to the rescue and not letting us have to deal with difficult times in our life.
Amen. And her parents had the means to financially help us at the drop of a hat. And if we would ask them, they probably would have. But we stayed on our faces and allowed the Lord to minister to us. And like she said, we grew tremendously through it. But there were definitely times they helped.
I think they would have said no if we were being...
That's true.
No, I
but they had
that.
The means, but you're
yeah,
right.
They were very practical people, and they would have said, no, that's something you need to deal with. You need to grow up. They would have been
praise
honest.
The Lord, we never got to that point, so... Questions, comments? Yes. The mic's coming.
I feel like Phil Donahue.
And back in this corner.
Well, you know, growing up with a single mother, you know, it's just myself and my little sister. We're 10 years apart. So I practically raised my little sister. You know, mom was working 7 days a week. And since I try to leave the home when I was 18, I always got bombarded by other family members, my uncles, everybody else saying like, hey, like making me feel bad, you can't leave. You have to stay here, take care of them, take care of mom, take care of little sister. Mm-hmm. 34 now. My wife and I, we've been married for 9 years.
Cool.
And but out of those 9 years, I mean, it's been one heck of a roller coaster, you know? Mm-hmm. But now, you know, we've been in and out living with our family. And obviously, we want to stay true to God's word and live the way God calls us to live. How do you get over or how do you work through still, like, trying to you know, leave and cleave, and you're still getting bombarded with the, hey, we've always been here, making you feel guilty. You know, how dare you leave? You know, especially now that she's getting older, she's still fully capable to work. You know, she still works. She's been working at the same place for 35 years now. Mm-hmm. You know, thank God for that. But like I said, like, how do you work through that? Like, being able to just, because now I'm not feeling as guilty that we're, you know, planning on moving on our own. But how do you work through that? Like, every day, like, I get bombarded by the enemy, like, got you it. Know, with those thoughts. So,
mm-hmm. Did you want to say anything? Okay. The first thing is there's a difference between guilt and conviction of the Holy Spirit. That's what you need to first discern. Is this the conviction of the Holy Spirit telling me I need to do this? Or is this just a guilt trip from the enemy? And if it's a guilt trip, then you need to learn balance. We don't just, you know, with my parents, they wanted us over at every holiday, every time, from before breakfast till after dinner, and stay and bring your pajamas. And that was the truth. And it becomes a balancing. Okay, what should we do to balance out our lives and build our family and our life, yet make sure we're respecting our families and our parents? Because that's, again, what the scripture says there, is we're not supposed to disrespect them, but how do we do it respectfully? See, you know, I'm not coming over anymore. I've got my own family. But, you know, Mom, let's come over there at 10 o'clock on this day. But this day we're going to have for our family. We're going to be together building our core. Does that make sense?
It sure does.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anything you want to add to that? Okay. Any other questions? Comments? Nobody else? Yes. Okay. I saw that hand. Just a reminder. Well, he's coming with the mic. Reminder, after we're done, and after the worship song, we're going to take down chairs in this area, so whoever could help, that would be great. And we're going to put chairs around tables. The food's in the room, the junior high room, which is the next room over, and we'll direct you to that. And again, those with children could go get their food first so they have some fellowship time, okay? Go ahead.
I think we're in a really tough position. Me and my husband, we're going to be 3 years married. We've moved, I don't know, like 7 times. Kind of separate from my parents and his parents, but we moved a lot, just job situations, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's come to our attention that we might have to buy my parents' house. My father is retired, and my mom had a brain tumor. Mm-hmm. So it's been a kind of roller coaster the last 4 months, and I don't know what to do because I keep telling my husband, it's your choice. I cannot decide whether we buy my parents' house or we move out, because if either way, my parents want to move in with me. Mm.
So you want me to tell you exactly what to do?
I'm
yes. kidding. I'm totally kidding. I appreciate your question. It's a great question. I'm totally kidding. Honestly, did you want to share something first? The reality is there's times when it's seasons when you have to do things in life to help people. We've had people live with us for a while, too. I didn't like it because I had to put pajamas on and run around the house and stuff, too. But but I'm telling you the truth. There are sacrifices you have to make sometimes for seasons in life to help people. Again, if there's a, like the Bible said there, too, if they're ailing parents or they need help, it might be what you guys need to do. The real key is you two have to be in total harmony that this is what God is calling you to for a season. As you get on your knees and you pray and you ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want us to do? What's the best for our family? But usually you want to put a time frame on it. Do you have any other family that could help?
I have 3 brothers. I'm the only girl, and they've all said no.
How far do they live from you? Do they live close, I mean?
My youngest lives with my parents now, and the oldest.
And so is he going to stay there when you buy the house? I'm serious. I've seen that.
Yes.
There you go.
And that's the trouble. Like, okay. It's a very complex, and honestly, I don't know.
Let me ask you guys to set an appointment so we can talk, okay? Because it's obviously, this is one of those, what I call tangled webs, that we're not going to have an exact answer for that. And I might not come up with, but we'll at least be able to untangle and maybe give you some direction. Yeah. Let's sit down and talk, okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions, comments? There's one back there. Over there.
Hang on a second. Dolores? Okay. Just wanted to make sure my mom wasn't here.
This is really Mike, too, by the way.
How do you handle outlaws? So it's really gotten to the point where I can't take my wife to my mother's house without basically watching her back, because my mother's a ninja. She'll find ways to... So seriously, she throws these little silver insults at you, you know, but, and you don't really realize until you're like, hey, wait a minute, that was, you know, that wasn't nice. So, you know, I've tried to, when her and I are together, I've tried to talk to her and explain to her, like you're not a nice person sometimes, and but they don't see it. They think that, like you said, that they're helping or they're... You know, this is their motherly duty to correct something, but it's not only is it disrespectful, it's very insulting. I mean, there's times when, I mean, we really got into some very heated discussions, you know, about it, and to the point where, like I said, we don't go over there because this is something that will be outlawed by the Geneva Convention because it's just bad. So, I mean. You know, I love my mom. Mm-hmm. I would like to spend time with her, especially, you know, since we're going to be moving soon. But I cannot at that price, you know, of my wife being, you know, abused by it. I mean, really, that's what it becomes. It just becomes some parental abuse.
Okay. Well, first question is, have you gone to ninja school?
just the dodging.
Exactly. You said you've already had private conversations with her about what to do, loving that, Mom, we're not going to allow this anymore. Have you stated, Mom, the next step would be, Mom, when we get together, I'm going to point it out when you do it. I'm not going to be disrespectful, but I'm going to say, Mom, this is what I'm talking about. You can't do that to my wife. You can't do that. I love you, but this is what I'm talking about. This is what we talked about in private. You can't do that with my wife. And then she does it again. Mom, this is what we talked about. I love you, but you can't do this. Again, totally respectful. And then if it comes again and you could tell that it's just spiteful, say, Mom, I love you. But if you do it again, we're leaving. There was a time when we were together as a family, something occurred. And I said, if this continues on, I'm picking up my family and we're leaving because I'm not staying under these circumstances. Does that make sense?
Oh, most definitely.
Cool. And don't ninja her. Anybody else? Questions? Was some back where? Back here? Okay.
Give this guy a medal.
Yeah, he's doing good. Now, I want to know if you have like a Fitbit on so you're getting your steps in.
Okay, so what do you do with an in-law that is very toxic to your marriage? She's very manipulative, controlling, and we've already allowed her in our marriage and around our kids. And now we're stepping back and pulling our kids away from her. But then we have the questions of why they're not seeing her, why she's not in the picture. But there's been so much damage and hurt that it almost ended our marriage. Mm-hmm. What do you do with that?
Thank you for being honest. Really, I appreciate that. First of all, you make sure you two are solid, that you're going to be in one and harmony in everything you do and you say. That's number one key. When you go to talk to the toxic in-law, that you're in harmony. Is it your parents or his parents?
It's his mother.
Sorry.
His dad died when he was younger, okay. So she's always... Like,
don't be embarrassed, please. No. Honestly, these are real life. What you're doing right here is you're helping other people that maybe aren't able to ask the question. Honestly.
So he's always been... I feel like she's always controlled him. So we've been married 5 years now. We've only been together only 2 of those years, pretty much, because we separated in the beginning because of his mother and her controlling, manipulative ways. When we got back together, I tried to put my foot down and here we're back to another time where we had to take her out of the picture for good this time, because I just don't want my kids and our marriage to end, or our kids be dragged into something that is so toxic, and the lies and the it's like she always finds a way to stir up something, make something of nothing.
Okay. Good. Thank you for being honest and sharing. Thank you for allowing her to do that. I hope you allowed her to do that, because don't get mad at her when she leaves, please. I mean that. What's your name?
That's Devin.
Devin?
Devin.
Devin. I mean that. Praise the Lord that she's willing to discuss this and so on. The first thing, again, is you guys need to be in harmony. You need to be back to back. Remember what we read. The scripture says this is why a husband should leave his father and mother, because it, like we said earlier, it's harder for the men a lot of times, and it's a lot harder for the mama to release the son. It really is. But you need to be in harmony and totally back to back. And the parent that's offending, the kid that is the actual birth kid is the one that has to deal with it. You guys hear that? Mm-hmm. When my mom did what she did and said what she did to my wife, I talked to my mom. If it was her parents that were doing it, I would tell her, Della, you need to tell your parents, blah, 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 blah. And we'd be in total agreement, and then she'd go talk to them. So it has to be that you, as the man of the house, as the one that the parent is offending, your wife and your family, and getting in the middle, says to them, not with your wife there, but separate, I'm not going to allow this to happen anymore. You know, I'm going to protect my wife. I'm going to protect my kids.
Now, what if you've already kind of tried that, and she's basically, like, that's not what she's going to do.
Well, again, the key is the steps, kind of like what I told Mike. You tell him the first time, if you do that while we're over at the house again, if you've already gone through the steps, again, speaking the truth in love is so important, and making sure you respect the parents. They're still the parents. And maybe, are they Christians?
No.
But maybe you two are the reason they're going to come to know Jesus, honestly. So your example and how you handle it, I'm not saying to be walked all over, never. Don't allow that to happen. But when you talk to them, you're speaking the truth in love as far as, this is what we need to do. I'm going to protect my wife. When you go over there, and if it's happening again, you say, Mom, one more time, I love you, like I said with Mike, but we're leaving. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Are you willing to do that?
Yes, I've done that before, though.
Okay, but then you leave. The bottom line is, you might say, then the next time, time up? I'm getting told time's up. And then what we'll do is then you say, okay, we're not coming back for a month. Then after, if it happens again, we're not coming back for 6 months. And you got to be firm with it, but say, I love you. I want you to be around the grandkids. I want us to be together, but I need to protect my family and the integrity of that in the Lord. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay, thank you guys so much for being honest and open. Thank you. Let's pray, and we're going to have one last song, and then we could all eat. Lord, we come before you, and we thank you so much for this time, and that you are here. I thank you for each couple that has been vulnerable to you, Lord, and to each other. Lord, we thank you for that we can learn through situations that we're each going through. And I ask, Lord, that you now bless this time of fellowship, bless the food that nourish our bodies, and Lord, continue to cause us to grow in you and to seek and desire you first. In Jesus' name, amen.